You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So come to the site now. We're flipping the switch from a week 14 to week 15 here. It's the second round of the fantasy football playoffs for many of you. For shallower leagues, welcome to the playoffs if you made it. We're happy to give you advice all the way through here week 17 for your year-long leagues here. And of course, we'll break down all the games of week 15 on Wednesday's show, as we also feature Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus looking at four of the more intriguing games. And then we'll come back with DFS. We know DFS is going to stay hot. And for those of you who have given up on your year-long leagues, or if you've lost, it's time to move on and take advantage of some DFS fun for the final few weeks. And with FanDuel and DraftKings, and we've got a special DraftKings listener league that I'm excited to tell you about. More details on that tomorrow. I'll tweet out the link and put it on with the show as well. But excited to be teamed up with DraftKings here. So we will talk to Tyler Lochner, Pro Football Focus, and really look at some of those value plays there on DFS on Thursday's show with Lineup Focus. So usual week here underway. On Tuesdays here, it's weekly waiver wired. Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, he'll join us a little later in the show to talk about some running backs and wide receivers and a tight end that we're particularly having on our eye this week. I'll open the show here breaking down the Monday night football game between the Vikings and Seahawks. And I'll close looking at the streamers there, the quarterback, tight end, and defense that you can look at in this particular week to play. So that's how we'll break down the show. Let's dive right into the Vikings-Seahawks matchup. A lot to talk about there, and we have some breaking news as well coming out of that game. First, the game, it was very ugly for Russell Wilson here. 72 yards passing only, 10 of 20. He ran for 60 yards, kind of salvaged a little bit there, but really ugly because he also had that interception near the goal line. Could have been a much better day, but they just controlled running the football. They kept running and running and running, and the Vikings had no resistance here, really. So, and they didn't really threaten on the scoreboard either, so it was very easy for the Seahawks to stick with that game plan and be conservative. They did take their shots with Wilson, and that was also always the danger of Wilson, because this is around his volume. 20 attempts only in this game, really 22 dropbacks. That's about his range here, and that's the dangerous thing about Wilson in fantasy. He was kind of defying the odds a little bit with his volume, given this is the number one running team in the NFL, and that's what they want to do first. He's just not a volume thrower, so he needs those long touchdowns to connect, and he took his shots here several times at David Moore, Tyler Lockett, other short passes there just didn't happen, and then they were at the goal line near the end to put the game away, and they just handed to Carson. So this Vikings defense, that's what they kind of do, is the zone. They protect against the big plays, made some nice plays in coverage there to really limit the Seahawks. So that was the danger, and that's the thing with Russell Wilson for next year. I think he's just an amazing player, and he's been so efficient with those throws into the end zone. He does that all the time. This game just didn't come through when he faced a tougher defense. So Wilson was locked in. He was hot. He probably carried you very far. You probably lost with him in your lineup here in week 14. If you survived, congratulations. I think things will be a lot better here against the 49ers again in week 15. But yeah, tough way for Wilson to end, but we knew this was always the danger with the volume there. And I think going into next year, you think about Wilson, we're going to like him a lot, but I don't know if Seattle's going to change its mindset too much here. Maybe Doug Baldwin enters retirement. That was the thing about this game. Once Baldwin didn't play, that was one less target there. He had the hip injury, so it was just basically Tyler Lockett and David Moore. And Lockett was the only receiver who had an impact here, 5 for 42, and not much to see there. So when they're running in this grinding game, and Chris Carson came through again with 90 yards and a TD, Rashad Penny looked good again, 8 carries for 44 yards, including a great 17-yard run where he basically run 80 yards total cutting back across the field. So he looks good. It's just they're not going to trust him more than Carson, because Penny can be the dancer and Carson is that straight-ahead back there that they're going to trust in these type of games to grind things out. And he certainly did that all the way through the touchdown here. But the rushing potential does open things up for Penny. We'll see if he gets used a little bit more next year. But the way Carson's running, he's still the man here as the early down, at least back there. And they still worked in a little bit of Mike Davis. So Carson could have had a bigger day, but they like this committee the way it's working. Carson is still getting the job done for you as an RB2 week in and week out with that volume. Now, on the other side, you look at the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, it wasn't pretty, but he ends up with 200 yards and a touchdown. That's clearly 209 yards, but not what you're looking at too much there with him playing in this particular matchup. The Seahawks defense, as expected, overachieved in primetime in that spot, scored a defensive touchdown. He lost a fumble here, so we told you to avoid Cousins, and it came to fruition in this game where he did not come through at all. I think he will next week against Miami. They got Detroit after that, so not a couple bad games. If he's kind of your backup or mixing him with another guy to look at Cousins next week. They fired John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator. This is the problem here. Norv Turner wanted them to be a little bit run, I guess, less run dependent, and that really cost his job there as the offensive coordinator. They replaced him with Pat Shurmur, and John DeFilippo also wanted to go with the pass and kind of open things up. But Norv Turner wants, or Mike Zimmer wants, to be more of a running type coach here, and that's why it didn't work out with Norv Turner and didn't work out with John DeFilippo, even though Dalvin Cook returned. And part of the reasoning probably early when Cook wasn't healthy is that, okay, we have to pass the ball here until Cook comes back. But now they look at Cook and Latavius Murray together. Well, they were just pounding themselves into a wall with a lot of their runs here, 16 for 59. So Cook had one good burst for 13 yards, but otherwise it was pretty shut down here. They really should have thrown a lot more early. They waited till late to do that. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen had some big plays late, 48 and 35-yard plays, but it was after the game was kind of in control there for the Seahawks. So I think that was a big mistake, the disconnect. I think not having DeFilippo probably means a correction to actually being more run involved, and that actually kind of works well against Miami. So Dalvin Cook, who had the touchdown here in a solid game, I think that was lost in this mess, that he was solid as the touch guy here, 18 touches with 83 yards and a touchdown, while Latavius Murray only touched the ball 3 times, including a failed fourth down attempt and a failed goal line attempt. So I think offense has to be more about Cook, Thielen, Diggs going forward and not incorporating other guys. And that was the mistake here, really, more so than Kirk Cousins was just not saying this needed to be a Diggs, Thielen, and Cook game, all in the passing game. And again, Cook should be in a great spot against Miami next week. Diggs and Thielen, after what Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon did against the Dolphins secondary with no Xavier Howard, could be in a smash spot. So I think this entire Vikings offense will rebound here in week number 15, especially playing back at home after these two brutal road games at the Patriots and at the Seahawks. So, you know, Minnesota is one of those places at this time of year, December, January, it gets very cold. And I'm pleased to tell you that this episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. It's heat on demand at the touch of a button. It's clothing engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat by a heating panel similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And those batteries can also be used to charge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. And I mentioned the cold. Well, it's perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Anybody that's just outdoors a lot, whether for work or play or just doesn't like being cold and wants to stay a little bit warmer with their clothing, Action Heat affords you that little extra burst of warmth, and it's going to keep you toasty warm and comfortable. Well, no matter if you're looking for heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns, and they're available in men's and women's styles. So check all the new models out there on actionheat.com. And it's just going to make your winter a lot more enjoyable and comfortable by wearing Action Heat. And you can make someone feel a little warmer as well by giving it to them this holiday season. And if you go to actionheat.com/lockedon, you can save 20% off your entire order. So take advantage of that deal. We're proud to be partnered with them. Again, it's actionheat.com/lockedon to save 20%, or you can use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout as well to save that 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and thank them again for sponsoring this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football. When we get back, we'll have Eric at Home of Pro Football Weekly to help us look at the running backs and wide receivers of note here on the waiver wire for week number 15. Joining me now, as he always does here on Tuesdays for weekly waiver wires, Eric Edelman of Pro Football Weekly. And Erica, we're into week 15 here, only one more week probably left in the fantasy regular season for most people out there. A big week. Are you still alive in some of your playoffs?
I am, yeah. I've got an interesting situation. I was the sixth seed and I won my first playoff game, and I'm facing the highest scoring team this week with Mahomes. So it won't take me long to figure out if I have a shot on Sunday with them playing on Thursday.
Yeah, it's always never good to stare at that big number. I'm sure people played Derrick Henry last week were like, they had no chance to recover after he drops a 47 pointer or whatever he did against the Jaguars. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be some sneaky guy that people can pick up, and maybe they'll have a Derrick Henry-like performance. Got to look at the backfield, and every week it seems like things are changing on somebody's backfield. And this week it's the Ravens here. Kenneth Dixon looked really good coming back there, full strength from the knee injury. Gus Edwards was okay, but Dixon had a little bit more juice. He got the touchdown there. Now they're playing the Buccaneers here, where you figure this team, if they continue to start Lamar Jackson, it's all about these running backs. And Dixon, I got to say, I liked him early, and then he had those injuries. And now he looks pretty good, and he's a guy that I think the Ravens are going to trust a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've kind of stuck with him despite some, you know, some off-field stuff, some injuries, a lot of things kind of getting in the way. I mean, this is a former fourth-round pick, and somebody I thought who could have been drafted a little higher. But yeah, I mean, he's not a big play guy, but he does consistently seem to churn out 4 or 5 yards a carry. You know, he's scored rushing touchdowns in 2 of his 3 games this year. So there's at least a little body of work there to like. And so, yeah, I mean, coming off a really nice game, I think he was up around 80, 90 yards from scrimmage. You know, I know it's a Chiefs defense that has struggled. You probably put him on the same level as what you saw with, or what you will see rather, with the Bucs. So I think it's pretty good. It's interesting. And, you know, the Ravens backfield almost is becoming what we used to bemoan the Patriots for being, right? Every week you sort of have to play a little bit of a guessing game here. But, you know, with Dixon doing more with his fewer touches, I think it's an encouraging situation. And you know, obviously Lamar being a quarterback, we assume, will kind of lend to that run game being featured a little bit.
Yeah, they should be playing from ahead, which is also good. I think they'll be in control against Tampa. So
And it didn't really matter because Ty Montgomery wasn't a factor, really, once Dixon came in last week. So I think Dixon and Gus Edwards have some value this week together because Edwards did look good. He just didn't get the touchdown, or his day would have been pretty good. Now, you look at another situation. Again, fantasy owners have been waiting. They're probably stashing this guy. If not, he's probably out there. Elijah McGuire. And this is just a weird situation because they were getting McGuire some touches. Then all of a sudden they went back to Isaiah Crowell as the workhorse. He looked okay in a couple games, but then toe foot injury goes down again. Then McGuire gives them a big burst and they win the game and end this losing streak at Buffalo. So it's a tougher matchup this week against the Texans, but McGuire looks like the guy they're going to have to trust here in this backfield going forward.
Yeah, he does. He's such a tricky player to evaluate, and I think he did a pretty good job of setting it up there. I mean, you know, on the one hand, we've seen him rip off a couple of big runs. On the other, his yards per carry, you know, are still pretty low. I mean, it's one of those things where the opportunity is nice, and you feel like, okay, he's going to get an opportunity here. I mean, he's going to get a chance here. You know, Trenton Cannon seems to be kind of pushed back on the pecking order a little bit. You know, I mean, McGuire did do it against the Bills, so that's a pretty good defense. I think people still need to consider that. So with Crowell getting banged up early in that game, that obviously had to frustrate his owners who may have spot played him or something like that. But yeah, now McGuire, I think the people who held on to him are probably going to have a little bit more incentive. Okay, I've had him this long on my roster. I'm going to look at him as a flex option or, you know, however you want to play it in this week. So I think he should definitely be on rosters. I hesitate a little bit to play him, but I understand the faint allure of what he might be able to offer in this week or possibly next.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's the Jets, so they're impossible to trust from week to week. And I feel a lot better about having Dixon in a timeshare versus McGuire maybe getting 15 to 20 touches by himself. So that's sometimes you have to look at the team and the situation as much as the running back here and how you look at the value of a back. And now another guy that I kind of look at that in the system is Darren Sproles there. He came back. This guy will not die. He's like one of those video game guys that just keeps sprouting another head. It doesn't matter how many times he tweaks his hamstring or how old he is. He comes back and still relevant in the NFL. And you saw him score the touchdown there against the Cowboys. You have now Corey Clement having this knee injury that's likely going to keep him out maybe for the rest of the season. And I just think they love him so much that they want to get him key touches. I kind of look at the situation there with what you see in Chicago, that Darren Sproles is like the older man's version of Terry Cohen to the Josh Adams, Jordan Howard type situation. Yeah. So I think Sproles is going to have some value. And against the Rams, that's how I would use him to attack their linebackers, just like the Bears did with Cohen last week.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. Using your kind of video game thing, he's kind of like the Roadrunner, right? Every time you think he's gone, you have to worry about him. He's been TNT'd or whatever, he's there. And so good for him. I mean, obviously the Eagles need anything they can get at this point. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, in a game against the Rams, I don't think they're going to – you know, out-cute their way to try to beat him or whatever. But Sproles has to be part of the mix. And he's got to get more touches. I mean, you know, was he had 10 touches, 8 touches, whatever it's been combined the last two games coming back. But he's scored a couple times. And he's played a lot, too. So clearly they trust him, you know, in the two-minute drill, pass protection, running routes, you know, doing everything in the run game. They just haven't given him the ball enough. And so I think that, you know, I think it's clear that when he does get it, good things usually happen, even at his age and even everything he's come through at this point. So with Clement now hurt, he has to get involved. I just feel like they have to realize what he's done and how valuable he could be, at least in kind of a spot role here.
Yeah, and that's what we have to look at here. It's so late in the season, we have to look at game to game with these waiver wire pickups, because you're not picking up someone just necessarily for depth unless you have a clear handcuff situation. If these guys are talking about are guys that could actually help you this week. Now, you look at the Chiefs' backfield. I saw that Spencer Ware popped on the injury report with two things, shoulder and hamstring. He was able to play through that last week, but didn't matter. Damian Williams was still the guy that scored the two touchdowns against the Ravens. Now, you also have Charcandrick West there that they could activate if they're worried about Ware's health. So how do you kind of see his backfield? I think the biggest problem with Ware, and looking back to what he used to do, is that I don't think he's a good red zone player or a very solid guy that gives you versatility near the goal line. I think that's going to maybe give Williams some continued value here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the diversity here with, you know, running the ball, catching the ball, you know, the yardage wasn't exceptional, but the two touchdowns obviously are going to catch your eye. I mean, that's, you know, I guess we have to figure out, is this shoulder injury for Ware? I know he came back into the game, but is it serious at all? You know, that would make me hesitate a little bit to whether to play him or not again in this next game. I don't know. I mean, short week, you could see it going either way. But yeah, Damian Williams is somebody you probably want to have on your roster and then kind of make the call as we get closer to the games a little bit. It's hard to say. I mean, I was kind of bullish on Ware coming into the game. I really thought that this could be interesting, but I don't know. Are you that excited? Is it obviously having two touchdowns is gonna kind of change your perspective a little bit? But do you like him in this game, or do you think like over the next two games there's something to be played for here? I guess I just sort of hesitate a tiny bit.
Yeah, I do, because we do have a history there, pre Kareem Hunt, post Jamal Charles, if you will. They used a straight-up committee with the Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware, and it was pretty frustrating from game to game. You'd get one big game from Ware, but then you'd disappear, and West would be the guy. And I feel like that's how they kind of feel about Ware. I don't think they think he's a guy that is going to be 25 touches. And Williams, I don't think he's a guy that they're necessarily going to feature if Ware's out either. So I'm really hesitant myself. And Andy Reid, we know in the end, he could just say, okay, I'm going to abandon the run and just put the game in the hands of Patrick Mahomes. And that's, you're going to hope for a receiving production score from one of those guys. So I think I might stay away from this situation as much as possible this week. I know you can run the Chargers, and Joe Mixon had a big game against them last week, but splitting it, maybe West in the mix, I think I'm going to avoid this situation.
Yeah, and I mean, Ware did, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, mispractice on Monday. I don't think his availability is in concern. I think it was more of a rest thing, but still, you know, one more hit could really change things. I still feel like you're doing a little bit of finger crossing with him, but normally Chiefs running back situation is pretty intriguing, right? I mean, Andy Reid knows what to do with these guys. They have such an explosive offense. They're going to use him in some way, but yeah, I still feel like it's a little bit of breath holding, finger crossing, all that stuff.
Now, we look at the Falcons, and it's been disappointing. Reality-wise, they've just not been able to get it done. They actually kind of look good running football. Then the game got out of hand in Green Bay and couldn't really stick with it. Now, they've talked about Devonta Freeman coming back. I don't necessarily see that. But you look at Ito Smith and Tevin Coleman. Now, Tevin Coleman's owned in every league, and I think at this point he's very usable in this game against the Cardinals' run D, but I think this could be a chance if somebody had given up on Ito, they're not doing anything, you plug him in there against the Cardinals, they should be playing with the lead in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, after that, I guess it would have been the Redskins game about a month and a half ago, whatever it was. There was so much excitement. Okay, look what these guys both did. You know, they're facing the Browns the next week, I want to say. And you know, it's been disappointing. I'm sure a lot of people have dumped, you know, Smith and said, okay, no, not doing it. But I think he's sort of back in that conversation for a flex spot. And, you know, having the role he did against the Packers was pretty good, you know, almost to the point where he's in that kind of, you know, 60-40, 55-45, 65-35 split with Coleman. And, you know, he's definitely rosterable, if that's the word. You know, if he's definitely somebody who I think has reentered the conversation, but you're going to have to make a call, and you're probably going to have to be in a little bit of a dire situation to really play him. But yeah, he's at least worth adding, I think, in your 12 and your 14 team leagues. And maybe he's got some daily allure if his price is right. But yeah, I would say it's good to have him back on your roster if you previously dropped him, and I think he'll at least be in the conversation at this point.
Yeah, you have to look at everything now. I mean, if you're in a deeper league looking for flex, which could be with all the injury attrition at running back, you can definitely take a look at him now. A guy that I think this team has been waiting to use him, and I think all the attention has been on Cortland Sutton in terms of rookie value, and it just was a matter of time. This guy getting healthy and then Emmanuel Sanders not being healthy. But Deshaun Hamilton looked pretty good. Sutton was kind of slowed down, really didn't do anything against the 49ers. But here comes Deshaun Hamilton. Looked pretty good there. I liked this kid a lot when he was at Penn State. I thought he could go higher in the draft, but I think the Broncos were definitely high on him. Now, what do you kind of see in his game? And you look at this game against Cleveland this week. If Denzel Ward comes back from a concussion, that's going to be Ward probably on Sutton and open things up here for Hamilton.
I think so, too. And you know, there was a little brief glimpse earlier in the year, and I'm kind of forgetting who it was against. Maybe it was the Chiefs or the Jets or something. I forget. There was that one game where Hamilton got in and did some good work late in the game. And, you know, I was a fan of his coming out. I was a little bit late to the party on him. I didn't, you know, even though he played extensively throughout his career, I think he started his first game at Penn State. I think it was that game in Ireland, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's just one of those guys you always kind of flew under the radar until you realized he's just consistently good. It kind of reminded me of maybe like a Deion Branch or somebody like that, where he's not the most physically gifted guy, but he's got a pretty decent little frame. He fights for the ball. You know, the possession receiver label is always going to be there with him, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think he could end up being pretty, you know, especially in your PPR or your half-point leagues. I mean, what do you have, 7 catches last week? Not for a ton of yards, but he did get the score. I think this is a guy that I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on for next year. But yeah, with Sanders out in the short term, I kind of like the opportunity. So you painted it perfectly. Sutton's probably going to get the more attention because of his physical gifts, but in a game where they're going to have to keep pace and probably, you know, throw to match what Baker Mayfield is doing, this is a sneaky good little play right here. I think I like this a lot.
Yeah, and he's a guy that sometimes you just look at talent, and talent is things that a lot of rookies have just kind of defied the odds. We saw Dante Pettis, we mentioned him on the other side of the matchup. He came through for a second straight week, getting opportunities. When you're that slot number two guy as a rookie, sometimes you have that chance for success because there's not a lot of good number two and number three corners in this league. Now, one other rookie that was really impressive, and I didn't expect this necessarily, in tune with some things that are going on with the Panthers, but Ian Thomas, they pretty much just plugged him in and treated him like Greg Olsen. He responds with a big game against the Browns, 77 yards receiving there. And the Saints are a tough matchup. They've typically covered the tight end pretty well, but if you need someone and you lost Olsen, I think you have to look at Thomas just given how bad tight end has been this year.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Thomas was another guy that I was sort of fascinated by. The more I watched him throughout the draft process, had a great conversation with him down at the Senior Bowl last year. He's, you know, he's got a pretty inspiring story, losing both of his parents, overcoming a ton in his life. So he's just one of those players you probably root for no matter what, outside of any fantasy implications. But yeah, I thought he was a really nice pick at the top of round four. I think he was either the first or second pick in the fourth round last year. And, you know, really impressive physical specimen. They made a quarterback change in Indiana, and it really affected his production. I thought he easily could have been a late second or an early third round pick, you know, had he been more involved in the passing game, had Indiana not made a quarterback switch. So once that happened, I think he kind of lost a little bit of value, which is unfair. It's too bad that it happened. But yeah, I mean, he's somebody who off the hoof looks really good. I mean, physically gifted, you know, made some mental mistakes early in the year. But, you know, I look at this and to your point, I mean, yes, the Saints have covered tight ends pretty well, but Cameron Brake kind of stung them a little the other day. So who's to say that somebody like Thomas might not be able to kind of bust out and have a good late season game, the kind of thing where we say, all right, next year, you know, we look back at this week 15 game and say Ian Thomas did it in this one, we could see him being a pretty good player. So yeah, I kind of like this one as well.
Yeah, I think with players like him, I think Jonas Smith may be getting involved next year after he comes back from the knee injury that this tight end position, I think, is going to be a little bit better in fantasy next year overall. A lot of promising young talent. I think there's been a bit of changing the guard, teams figuring things out, and Thomas is certainly part of that wave. So, Eric, tell everyone what you're working on at Pro Football Weekly and what we can read there this week.
Yeah, hopefully catching up on some sleep. I've had a rough few days between late night game against Bears Rams and my son insisting on getting up early. But outside of that, yeah, no, I'll have some stuff as we get closer to the playoffs here. Look at the Green Bay Packers and kind of what their short term and long term future is. So I'm working on something today about them. Look for that in the next day or two. And you know, it's obviously a fascinating situation with Aaron Rodgers and everything that's going on there, the head coaching search and just the little kind of dynamics at play with how they're going to go about their coaching search. So that's the biggest thing I'm working on right now.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Aaron Rodgers did look good last week. So maybe when you're there in Chicago this week, when they go there, he can produce again for his fantasy owners. Thanks a lot, Eric. Good luck in your games and waiver claims this week. And we'll talk to you next week for our final meeting here with the Christmas the following Tuesday. So maybe we'll get into a little bit of futures with you next week.
I look forward to it. I've had more failures than successes this fantasy season. So the word future means a lot to me.
Yeah, definitely. We can definitely look forward to that. Well, again, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks so much to Eric Edholm for joining us. You can follow him at Eric_Edholm there on Twitter. He does a great job as well at Pro Football Weekly. You can follow all their work as well. And you can follow us on the Locked On Network in a variety of ways. We're at Locked On Network, Locked On NFL on Twitter. I'm Vinny Iyer on Twitter, Vinny Iyer on Facebook. You can find all the past shows there, all the stuff I'm doing for sportingnews.com and everything we have going on fantasy football wise there. You can check it out. And we're all over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook here on the Locked On Network, whether you like NFL, NBA, MLB or college, fantasy or reality, we've got you covered and we're all over social media. So check us out on all the platforms and can't wait to get you guys involved as well in the DraftKings listener league that we'll have up tomorrow. Look for that on social media as well. When we get back, a look quickly at the streaming options at quarterback, tight end, and defense for week 15. So let's close the show looking at the streamers we're looking at. These are all short-term type things that we were talking about with Eric Edholm there, that you have to start looking at the waiver wires. Am I going to use this person? Unless it's a handcuff and you're looking for depth here. Now, quarterback, if you're hurting or struggling at quarterback, you got to look at Derek Carr. If you've been streaming all season, he's had two great games in a row against the Chiefs and the Steelers. He's playing very well, gets the Bengals this week. It's on the road, but Carr, we want to trust him. He's got the weapons. I feel like this offense is clicking a little bit more. So if you need Derek Carr this week, it's not an insane play. I really like him in DFS now that you can look at him a little bit more as well. So a good DraftKings option for you this week. Maybe a little under the radar. Maybe everyone will be on him. But I still think he's worthy with the way he's playing, locking in with Jared Cook. And the Bengals have really been vulnerable against the tight end and key weapons that Carr has. So that should help him have another good game this week as he finishes strong to make the Raiders think he should still be their franchise quarterback with Gruden there in 2019. That's good motivation for sure. Marcus Mariota gets the Giants this week. I kind of like him. Last week, he didn't really have to do anything through an interception, but he just watched Derrick Henry run all over the Jaguars. I don't think that's going to happen as easily this week. I think more things are going to open up in the passing game. I think they'll be able to run, but that's only going to set up Mariota for some good scoring, and I think this could be a game that has a little bit more scoring than people think. So Mariota, Corey Davis, that connection can rev up here. Austin Ferks are getting the backs involved in the passing game. So Mariota is a good stinky streamer as well, along with Carr. Now, Josh Allen, we mentioned a lot last week, him and Lamar Jackson. Allen is going to definitely be starting against Detroit. It's a defense that's not that great overall. They're actually better against the run, so Allen can maybe get things done here. And Jackson facing the Buccaneers at home in a great smash spot. Started throwing multiple touchdowns as well as running last week in Kansas City. So great sign if they stick with him as starter. Nick Mullins, We know that he lit up the Seahawks secondary in the first matchup, unlike Kirk Cousins, in just a couple weeks ago. And he's playing confident. He's got George Kittle and Dante Pettis rolling for him. So Mullins is definitely usable there in what should be some garbage scoring opportunities against the Seahawks, who should be in control of that game. Now, we look at tight end streaming, and Vernon Davis has to be under consideration here. The Jaguars have struggled against the tight end. There's no more Jordan Reed there that you have to look at. Ian Thomas, we mentioned, we like him as a youthful upside, but in this moment, Vernon Davis with Josh Johnson could have a connection. Both have been in Jim Harbaugh's systems before, so that helps the connection there. And Davis could be a big part of what they do, as well as Jameson Crowder this week working the slot, where the Jaguars have also struggled this season. Now, CJ Uzuma, people may be giving up, and he's available. They're playing the Raiders. They're at home. The Bengals are. So, good opportunity. The Raiders are vulnerable against the tight end. They're in coverage, and it's been pretty much been the Tyler Boyd, Uzuma show in the passing game. It's pretty low volume for Jeff Driscoll, but you think Uzuma would have a chance to produce again in this particular week. Now, streamers, that's kind of it for those couple positions. Defense is very interesting to me as well. Detroit came through big time against Arizona last week, gets the Bills on the road, so you can look at them. The Bills at home on the other side of that matchup against the Lions are also in a good spot. And then you look at the Falcons at home. They're playing the Cardinals. I know the Falcons defense had all kinds of problems, but again, two defenses that should be available. Somebody might have picked up the Lions, but if they're not feeling them for the Bills, go and take advantage of that and play them this week. You got to look at the Falcons against the Cardinals with that big spread. If someone dropped the Rams, you can look at them at home against the Eagles. I know the Eagles can put up points, but the Rams can also make some big plays, get some sacks and turnovers in that one as well. And then the New Orleans Saints, this is a defense that's played very well the past 2 weeks against the Cowboys and Bucks. Shut down some pretty good offenses there. The Panthers' offense is struggling. Cam Newton's throwing a lot of interceptions. Getting pushed around a little bit. The turnovers are there for the Saints. Saints just playing well as a unit. Next week, I can't recommend them. They do have the Steelers, so the Saints are a one-week special here against the Panthers, even though they're road in primetime. I like them. If you're looking for the primetime bump at home there, you could also look at the Broncos. They are facing Baker Mayfield, who's pretty hot, and their secondary is a little bit weak, but it's primetime bump. They'll be excited. And then Von Miller and Bradley Chubb there on the other side looking for the pass rush. So that's where you can also go in this particular week. So there you have it. There's a look at the waiver wire. Thanks again to Eric Edholm for breaking down some of those young players and unheralded options there at running back and wide receiver, where we're always looking to upgrade here. And definitely check out his stuff on Pro Football Weekly. Check out my stuff on sportingnews.com and listen to all the great shows on the Locked On NFL Network as well. For Locked On Fantasy Football for Tuesday's show, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow for matchup focused week 15.